You would please take your Bibles, turn to Psalm chapter 78.
Psalm chapter 78. Share a message about the family tonight, and if we are animals, which we're not, we're different. God has made us special. I believe the family could be in the category of an endangered species because we're losing it in America. It's not being promoted the way God has designed it, and we're in trouble. We're in desperate trouble. Psalm chapter 78. Would you please stand with me? I know you've been seated for a while. And we'll just read the first, I'll read the first three verses, and then we'll have a word of prayer. Psalm chapter 78, verses 1 through 3. Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and know, and our fathers have told us. Our Father in heaven, we come to you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Father, I pray that you would just use your word in all of our hearts tonight. Lord, we claim the power of the word of God tonight. And I pray that the Holy Spirit would have freedom to work in all of our hearts. Lord, may we leave this place changed because of you and the word of God. And I pray that the words that I speak would be your words tonight. Lord, Holy Spirit, move amongst us in a special way. Lord, we need strong Christian homes so we can have strong churches. Father, we love you. We thank you. We praise you for a good day. And we want to give you all the glory and all the praise. In Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Tonight the message is entitled, Families, Can I Have Your Attention? You notice the first few verses, it's talking about listening and speaking and listening and paying attention. And, you know, when you go to a store sometimes, everybody wants your attention. That's why they got all these billboards plastered all over the place. That's why they got all those TV commercials. They want your attention. They want to get your attention. And you know what? Satan wants to get your attention also. But, my friend, I think you need to give God your attention, and specifically in the family. The family is dear to my heart because I have a family. God has blessed me with a family. And each one of those young people are a blessing from God. They're not problems. They're blessings from God. And we need to get that right viewpoint and understand and have a passion about training them and raising them up. But families, can I have your attention? Sometimes maybe when you're in Walmart or Sam's Club's just down the way, they'll say, Walmart shoppers, can I have your attention, please? Or maybe you've been in a service and somebody brings a card to the front and they read off a license plate number that says you have your lights on. Everybody wants your attention. Well, God wants your attention tonight. And I believe that he wants us to hear from him. Because number one, I believe in families, we need to hear God's instruction. We've heard about it already this morning. We just keep pounding it over and over and over again. But this book, my friend, is very important in our life. And in our family's life, it is so very important. We need to hear God's instruction. But why don't we listen? Why don't we listen? Well, let's take the example of husbands, wives. Let's think of this. Remember when you went to the store, you bought that special item. You brought it home in that big box, and there it sat in the living room. And it's sitting there, and it says right on the bottom, some assembly required. And your husband opens that box up, and he starts to assemble this item you've purchased. And as he's been working at it for a few hours, the lovely wife comes over to him, and she says, honey, it doesn't look like the picture on the box. And then she makes this pointed comment. Honey, did you read the instructions? Now men, real men, what? We don't read instructions, do we? But we need to. A couple months ago, we have a light in our fifth wheel and that it was over our dinette. And it just didn't have any light at all. And so we bought a different one. It's a 12-volt light. And so I bought a different one, and I installed it. Being the intelligent husband that I was, I didn't read the directions. So I thought I knew what I was doing. I put it up, pushed that button. It didn't work. So I had to, gentlemen, humble myself and read the instructions. And so once I did that, you know what? The light worked. And I believe we need to do that. We need to hear God's instruction regarding some instructions for our family. How are we going to hear God's instructions? Does he talk to us audibly? Do we hear special voices, see visions? No. We need to plain and simply read his word. Read the word. We need to read the word of God. We need to, number two, we need to meditate on his word. How important it is to meditate on God's word. As it tells us in Psalm chapter 1, verse 2, but my delight is to meditate on that word day and night, all the time. Some people, you know, Pastor was talking about reading through the Bible, which is a great thing to do. And we need to read through the scriptures. But sometimes maybe just take a verse of scripture and chew on it all day. I grew up on a farm. My brother and I did. And, you know, you see those cows chewing their cud. They're bringing it up and chewing it over and just thinking about it. And sometimes we just read the scripture and then we go on with the rest of our day and we just forget all about what we've read. But bring it back up and ask the Holy Spirit, teach me from this verse today. And bring it back up and read it over. Maybe you have to write it on a card, but get it in front of you. Because, my friend, this is a Christian journey every day. And that's what's going to make it real. This isn't a religion. This is a relationship with God Almighty. And we need to develop that relationship. We need to draw closer to him. And it comes through what? Reading his letter to us. How do you get to know somebody? You talk to him. God's talking to us. Are we listening? Are we hearing his instructions for us? Oh, how very important that is. If you can, keep a marker there in Psalm 78. Go with me to the verses we quoted in Colossians chapter 3, verse number 16. There's a verse here that we quoted tonight in Colossians 3, in verse 16, and it says this: let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. That first word of that verse, just a simple three-letter word. What is it? Let. It means to permit. Do you permit the word of God to come into you? And it goes on to say to dwell, to inhabit you. I think of that word let, and you have to give that permission. Many times we've been close to where there are locks, where the water raises and then the boat comes in there. And then the water raises up or it goes down because the boat has to get to different levels, to get to the different levels of the water. Well, when you notice that, or even in a dam, when you notice that gate come open, what's happening? That water is just rushing right in. And that's the same thing we have to do in our hearts. We got to open up our hearts and we got to let. Simple, isn't it? But do we do it? Do we let the word of God come in and rest, dwell, inhabit in our heart? My friend, that is where the decisions are made. They're not made up in our mind. True decisions take place in your heart. True decisions will take place in your heart. And we must let the word of God come and dwell. Not only should we read his word, should we meditate on his word, but we should memorize his word. And I know the older I get, the harder it gets, doesn't it, folks? The harder it gets. I got to reread it. I got to do it over and over. As a family, when we have prayer for our meal or before our prayer, we quote scripture together. And right now we're working on Galatians chapter 5. And where I have it on a card that I hand out, and the young people are much quicker at memorizing it than I am. And so it's a challenge to try to keep up with them, but we go over it and over it, and we just keep going over and over it. It's all right if we keep going over it, because it's good for us. And we're working on Galatians chapter 5. But that's what we do as we have prayer. Memorize the word, and then listen to his word. Through preaching, that's what you're doing tonight. Through just audibly listening to recordings of it. I remember a dear lady in our church in Savannah, Ohio. Her name was Ziona. And she always read through the Bible every year. 28 years she had read through the scripture. And the question was asked to her, are you still reading the Bible? Because she was in a rest home at that time. Are you still reading through the scripture? She says, no, I'm not reading it, but I'm listening to it. You know, she was making that effort to get it because she knew it was important in her life to get the word of God into her life. Now, what does the word of God tell us about a family? What does the word of God tell us about our family? What is a family? God instituted the family back in Genesis chapter 2. So what makes up marriage? And this is the definition of marriage. It is the act of uniting a man and woman for life. It's called wedlock, a legal union of a man and a woman for life. Now, it's sad, but we have to start at base one, square one. We got to clarify it. It's a man and it's a woman. That's God's plan. And my friend, you may think it's simple, but you better start getting it into your young people's mind and in their heart that it's a man and a woman, and it's for life. It's called wedlock. And it's so very important, and you got to tell them over and over and over again, this is God's decision. They're not going to get it out in the world. They're not going to get it in their public school. They're not going to get it on their television set because they're not pushing that at all. They're pushing a total different agenda that'll ruin their life and destroy them, because it's Satan's plan. It's the devil's plan to ruin those lives. But talking about wedlock, this is a lock that we use when we hitch up. I'll use this tomorrow morning when we hitch up our truck to our fifth wheel. And this isn't what holds it all together, just this lock. There's a big kingpin there that holds this particular lock. There's a cable that runs from our fifth wheel that must be attached to the truck. And that cable, and it's locked in. What that cable does, if for some instance the fifth wheel became separated from the truck, that cable is pulled out and all the brakes on the fifth wheel come on and to stop the fifth wheel from rolling any farther down the road. So that's what I have to do every day. And I lock it in there. And it's a picture of a marriage, because that's what it is. It's locked together. My friend, if for any reason that our fifth wheel would come separated from our truck, even though this pulls that brake cable, you know what? It'd be a mess. And the same thing happens in marriages when they separate. And the sad thing is that the same out as they are inside church. And it ought not to be like that, my friend. It ought not to be like that. We need to go back to doing it God's way. And it's for life. Young people, you make a commitment, you better understand that it is for life. I heard a young man say, he says, I'm committed, but my heart's not in it. Well, if that's your definition of commitment, it's not mine, because you're not committed if your heart's not in it. And let me tell you, when you get together as husband and wife, you better understand that you see things differently. You come at things at total different angles. That's why that marriage has to be grounded in the Lord Jesus Christ. You must come together as a saved couple. Both of you trusting in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. That's the only way it's going to work. That's God's plan. And that's what it has to be grounded on. You must have that. Because when those difficult days come and you're grounded, you're reading the Word of God, you have something to come back to, because your feet, you're planted on the Word of God. And you have that common bond, that unity in Jesus Christ. There's security in that. My friend, I don't know what you're struggling with. Maybe you're having problems as a couple right now, because finances are tough now. Maybe you're not able to get all the stuff you used to get. And my friend, don't get trapped in stuff. That's a whole nother message. I mean, it's just a tool of Satan. What's the Bible tell us in Timothy? Having food and raiment, let us be therewith content, happy, satisfied. That's all we really need. But we think we need so much more. But as a couple, you must do that. And that's God's plan. What's happening in our world? They're not promoting that kind of marriage. Right now, people aren't even getting married. They're just living together. And that's sin. That's not God's plan. Listen to this stat right here. 2006, nearly 40% of U.S. babies born in 2006 were born outside of marriage. How do you expect God to bless a country in sin? How? It's not going to happen, my friend. Listen to this. More than 80% of babies delivered by teen mothers were born outside of marriage in 2006, while nearly 60% of those delivered to women ages 20 to 24 were outside of wedlock. Nearly 30 babies delivered to women ages 25 to 29. I mean, it's all over the place. Just shack up, just have a baby, and that's it. That's not God's plan. It doesn't happen until after you say, I do. And that I do lasts you your whole life. My friend, we got to teach that. We got to live that out. And those of you who have lasted for 50 or more years or 40 or 30 years, whatever it might be, praise God. Thank you for being an example to us. Because we need that example. And we need to encourage the next generation and the generation after that to keep going on forward for God. My friend, we must do that. But listen to this stat, according to divorces, something that in a church that will happen. Although one in every two married couples end up divorced, certain criteria of marriage have a much higher success rate. A national survey revealed that when two criteria were present, the couple, what? They attended church. And they did what else? They prayed together at home. There was only one divorce in 1,000 marriages. I like those stats. That's better. That's the way it should be. Let's get our act together. Let's get back to being real Christians and doing it God's way. That's so very important. Turn back with me to Psalm chapter 78, if you would. Psalm chapter 78. We need to hear God's instruction. Number two, we need to hide not God's instruction. We need to hide not God's instruction. What do you mean? Verse 4, 5, 6, 7. What do they say? Psalm 78. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come how great the parents are. No, that's not what it says. Showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord. And it's His strength. It's His wonderful works that He hath done. For He established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which He commanded our fathers, that they should make them known to their children. Why? That the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children. What do we want them to do? Verse 7, that they might set their hope in God. That's the plan, my friend. That's God's plan. Fathers, you're responsible. Fathers, you have a lot of responsibility. You're commanded to teach. Whether you have your wife do a lot of the teaching, Pastor was sharing with that this morning, about how a mother is so important. And she is so much, especially she an at-home mother. How important that is. And that vision, the young people need to see that. And they need that image of that father also. Because that's why we got all this mess, because young people aren't seeing it. They're not seeing that father, that mother working together and making this happen, because we're responsible to pass it to our next generation. What a privilege that is as a Christian home to pass our faith down to our children, to let them know how we love our Savior Jesus Christ. That's why I believe it happens by show and tell. Remember that in kindergarten? Show and tell. Oh, you brought that item in. You were proud of it. And you talked all about it. You stood up front. Look at this. Look what I brought in. You want everybody to see it. The same thing needs to happen in your home. Parents, you need to do some showing, which means you need to be living out your faith. Living it out. What's that mean? What's happened? I believe what's happened is, we've come to church on Sunday morning. Maybe Sunday night. But we go home on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday. And we live a totally different way than what the preacher was talking about Sunday morning. And they didn't see it, because young people catch it. They see it. And it's a tough job to always. It doesn't mean, parents, you're always going to do it perfectly. I fail every day, fall flat in my face. But you know what? God's a forgiving God. He picks us back up and He puts those pieces back together. But we have got to strive to live our faith out Sunday to Sunday. It's a real thing. It's a constant growing relationship. And we must live it out before these little ones, because they're watching you. They're watching the way you respond. They're watching the way you go through a difficult situation. And we must be that example before them. That's that showing and telling. And then we must tell them audibly, share with them how God saved your soul. Something we've done, Javonda, in our home that I want to show with you tonight. My wife and I developed these when we had a still house, is what we call it, one that's not on wheels. We used to have these hanging in the children's room. And this is what it says. It says, Jesus loves Javonda. And it has three different colored hearts here that are on there. And when it was first made, there was a hole up here in this white heart. There was some white here, but there was a hole left in there. And it's just the simple plan of salvation we would share with the young people. How that Jesus loves them. In 1994, Javonda was born into this world in Bradenton, Florida. And she was born a sinner, and we would tell them that. That's what that dirty heart stands for, 1994. And then it comes up to the red heart. Jesus loves Javonda. Jesus loves the world. For God so loved the world. And we'd share them how Jesus died on the cross for their sins. And now he shed his blood. One of my favorite verses, Romans 5:8. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. My friends, we did not deserve it because we're good people. It's because he loved us. He died for us. When they understood that and that they wanted to trust Christ, now we didn't sit them down in a seat and say, you're going to trust Christ tonight. No, no. We shared with them the plan of salvation. We shared with them how God loved them, but they had to come to us. And I said, if you ever want to trust Christ, you come and see us. You come and talk with us. And that's what happened. Javonda happened to be in Canada when that happened on a Thursday morning, I believe, in 1998. And that's when this 98 got put in there. She got to help fill it in because she decided that day on October 9th, right? October 9th, 1998, I want to trust Christ as my Savior. Thank you, sweetheart. And every one of those. So what's going to happen? In fact, the first one has already left because our first son has got married. The one we made for him, it's in his family now. And now what's he going to do? What is our prayer that he's going to do? Is share it with his generation if God blesses them with children. To share that plan. Because that's what it's all about. All these other religions are sharing their faith. Why can't we, the ones who know the truth, the word of God, can share our faith with our families? We got to live it out. We got to share it. We got to show. And we got to tell it wherever we go. Most important thing, share your salvation. Teach them to obey. Teach them to praise. Teach them to be thankful. So many things to teach. So many things I still have to learn to live out in my own life every day. This Christian life, you just don't just hop along and just go. It's a job every day. We got to decide, am I going to serve God today or am I going to let Satan get the victory? Man, it's in your face all the time. We got to live it out. Be real. Don't be phony. Be a real Christian. Have a real Christian family. Do other people know your family as a Christian family? Do they see you faithfully every Sunday morning, packing up your family, grabbing your Bibles, jumping in that car, and heading to church? Do your neighbors know you for that? You don't know what kind of testimony that could have to your neighbors. Just being that constant, that faithful churchgoer, just on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Oh, they're going to church again. They're going to church again. Praise God. What an example. And your young people see that example before you. Oh, how important that is, my friend. We have got to teach the next generation. Now, I know there's some grandparents in here. You say, I don't have any more kids at home. My friend, you have grandchildren. You have maybe some children that are unsaved. Maybe you got saved later in life. Have you prayed for them? Have you told them about the love of God? Is there anyone in your family that hasn't trusted Christ? My friend, we got a job to do. I mean, there's so many methods. Text them, write them an email, call them up on the phone. Share with them those stories. Your grandchildren, they need to hear those stories about how God helped you through a special situation, how he brought you from point A to point B because it was only through God's hands. We were driving in Altoona, Pennsylvania in our truck, and the light came on where it says low fuel. And so I was trying to find a station. Now, when you're driving a truck and a fifth wheel, you just don't pull into any gas station along the way. Not all of them have diesel fuel. So you have to have some plans and try to scout it out. And so I finally found a station. I was desperate. I was pulling into anything. And I pulled into this station, and it quit. Truck stalled. That was it. I was 30 feet from the pump. It was it. I was done. So I called AAA and tried to have them come. I tried to pour some diesel fuel in the gas tank to get some fuel into it. But I tried to crank it. It wasn't happening. But there was this another guy that was circling the station. Because when you drive these things, you just don't pull in. He circled and he pulled over here on this side. And he had a Ford truck just like I did. So I went over to him and I asked him, I said, sir, have you ever run out of fuel? Well, he was a smart man. He never did run out of diesel fuel, smarter than I was. So he didn't. But listen to what he said. He said, but I used to work for Ford. In fact, I probably helped design that engine that's in your truck. He says, now they won't tell you to do this, but if you take the cap off of the fuel filter and pour some diesel fuel in there, it'll start right up. So that's what we did. And you know what happened? It started right up and we filled it right up. But that's not the end of the story. What are we to do? Do you think that just happened, that he happened to be there at that time? No. That was God taking care of a foolish father who didn't get enough fuel in the gas tank. Now, what are we to do? We have to go and say, young people, do you see how God took care of us today? Do you see how God met our needs? They got to see it. They got to catch it. You got to live it out. Be real. My friend, we need to hear God's instruction. We need to hide not God's instruction. And lastly, we need to heed God's instruction. We need to obey. These few verses here tell us how they didn't obey in verse number 8. Look at what it says. And might not be as their fathers. These fathers are stubborn, a rebellious generation. A generation that set not their heart aright. Parents, are your hearts right with God? Are you in tune with God? And whose spirit was steadfast with God? Are you heading God's direction? Are your young people catching that? Are you heeding the word of God? Are you obeying what it's telling you to do? There's so much in the word of God I don't understand, but the stuff I understand I need to be implementing into my life. I need to be living that out. And so do you. And that's how we encourage one another. And we build one another up. Saying, how's it going in your family? Do you need us to pray for anything? So many times we've gotten so isolated that we've gotten weak, but we're unwilling to share a need we have in our heart that we're struggling with in our family. We're unwilling to share amongst Christians because we're afraid they might tell somebody else, oh, so-and-so's having a problem over here. Do you see that? We've got to cut that nonsense out. We've got to get real with God and help one another. Pray for one another. Pray for your family. Pray together as a family. But we need to heed what the Word of God says. Listen to what verse 9 says. The children of Ephraim, being armed and carrying bows, turned back in the day of battle. I believe that's what's happening in our families. We have so much information, so much knowledge and education we can get. We got Christian radio, most of it's trash. We got Christian bookstores, most of that's trash. And on we go. But we got so many tools. We got the internet where we can do Bible studies. We can do all kinds of stuff. We got so many tools at our disposal. Yet why are we turning back? Why are we having problems? Because our heart's not right. The heart's not right. We haven't given it all to God. We're holding back. We're holding back. This business of raising a family, it's serious business. And we need to get on with that business. If we're going to have a next generation that's going to come up behind us. Not only that generation, but these verses before it's talked about the next generation. Grandparents, do you have that vision for the future? Maybe you have that retirement set away, but have you invested in your young people and your grandchildren so they can invest in the great-great-grandchildren you'll never see? Don't you want them to go to heaven too? Then you better start sharing with them about the love of God. We got lots to do, but we got to heed this book. It says that they turned back in the day of battle. That's what happened there in Joshua chapter 7, verse 12. Remember when the children of Israel, after the great battle at Jericho, they went into Ai? And what'd they do? They ran away. They turned back. Why? Because God was not with them. Why are our families weak? Because there's sin in our families. There's sin in the camp. We got to get it cleaned out. We got to obey. We got to have that cleansing. We got to get right with God so we can go forward as a family. Maybe you need to get rid of something in your house. Turn that television off and quit watching those programs. My friend, there's nothing really to watch on that television anymore. Get yourself some good Christian videos if you need to watch something together as a family, and make sure that you're watching what pleases God. It's a challenge for us. And we must seek to please God in all that we do. Heed what God tells us to do, God's instruction. Verse number 10, they kept not the covenant of God and refused to walk in his law and forgot his works and his wonders that he had showed them. So what do we need to do as families? Go with me to Colossians chapter 3. Three simple points here about your family in Colossians chapter 3. We quoted it tonight. Colossians chapter 3, 18, wives, you've heard this verse, you're sick of this verse. My wife quoted it tonight, and it says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands, that it is fit in the Lord. Women, you have to submit. But husband, it doesn't mean that you're the dictator. This is a servant leadership. You come together as a couple. In Ephesians chapter 5, it tells us to submit ourselves one to another in the fear of the Lord. Husband, your wife has some keen insight on a lot of things. Us men, we're different. We go through like a bowl in a china shop. I mean, we're just plow right through it. The ladies may have a little bit different idea in this whole thing, because if you haven't figured it out, men and women are different. It's interesting to me because men, in the next verse, it tells something to us. It says, husbands, love your wives. Why on earth does God have to tell a husband to love his wife? Wouldn't you think that's why you married her, husband? Because you love her? But listen to what it says. It says, husbands, love your wives and be not what? Bitter against them. You ever been bitter, husband? Why? Why? Maybe she comes to you a few times and tells you to fix that leaky sink faucet. And she comes over and over and over again. Well, there's a story in Luke chapter 18 that was a positive trait that a lady had. It was a positive thing. And maybe it's to encourage us, but you know what? Men and women are different, if you haven't figured it out. Well, I had to buy some new shoes last fall. Went into the JCPenney store, and we go straight to the clearance rack when we buy stuff. I mean, that's how we operate as a family. We got to pinch the pennies. My wife is great with coupons. I mean, she coupons and saves probably about $2,000 or $3,000 a year on coupons. It's money. Just use it. It takes a little work. It's an at-home job for her. Works for us. Anyway, so if she had a coupon, I went to the clearance rack, found a pair of shoes, tried them on, they worked, cashed out. I was ready to go in 5 or 10 minutes. Honey, I'm done. I'm done shopping. I'm ready to go. Now, ladies, it's just a total different experience. You walk in those doors and you open that door and you say, this feels good. And you proceed to walk around the store for the next couple of hours. Why, the husbands are over here quoting Colossians 3:19. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Because you love her. You're doing it together. And a lot of things we do as a family, we've learned, we do it together as a family. That's why our children are involved in the ministry. They're not just sitting in the front pew, but we're doing it together. Why? To praise God. So they're a part of this work. Wives, you have to learn to submit. Husbands and wives, when you come together, and husband, when you finally make that decision, the wife, you have to come under that decision. But you need to talk about it together. But husband, you ultimately make that choice, what the decision is going to be. Wife, you must submit to that. And then children that are here tonight, verse number 20, it always says it. It's in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 1, but it says, children, obey. Wives, submit. Husbands, love. Children, obey. If you can get that happening in your house, I believe you're going to have a happy home. I believe you're going to have a happy home. My friend, we got a lot of responsibility as parents, as grandparents, to teach, to be that example, to be that leader. How's it going? How's it going in your home? Has God, has the Holy Spirit touched your heart in an area you need to get straightened out tonight? Would you do business with God? Let's be real Christians. Let's live our faith out. Father, we love you tonight. Lord, we're thanking you for your goodness to us. Father, thank you for the Word of God. What an encouragement and help that it is in our lives. Thank you for this church that you've established here. The men of God who stood behind this pulpit to preach. For these folks who are faithful to attend. But Daddy, how's it going tonight in your family? Are you having a special time of devotions? Are you reading the Word of God with your family? Are you having a time in a prayer? How's it going, wife? Are you following that husband? Children, are you obeying God? I don't know what God's spoken to your heart about, but would you do business with him tonight? Maybe there's somebody here tonight, and as Javonda was holding that rug up, he said, I don't know that I've trusted Christ. You must believe in your heart, my friend. It's not a head thing. It's a heart decision. It tells us in Romans. You must believe in your heart. Have you trusted? in Jesus alone. Only Jesus. That He died on the cross, shed His blood to pay for your sins. Have you made that choice? Young person, have you made that decision? Adult, grandparent? Or have you just been coming to church? Just playing the game. Get real with God. Get in the game and say, yes, I'm going to be committed to God. Father, use your word, Holy Spirit, convict our hearts. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.